To be or not to be? There is no question. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with instant illumination. To be or not to be, there is no question. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler and all that sort of stuff. Now, is it to be or is it not to be? Is it an is or is it a not is? Can a not is exist? Can an is that is not exist? And can a that which is not exist as an is? Well, we know that it cannot. We know that I affirm in the present tense the action has already taken place. There is no to be. Because there's no I love you because. The word because now has become an anathema in our vocabulary, one that we don't use any longer. Because. There you go, the old common phrase that comes popping up when we least expect it. Expensive. Well, because means that there's a reason for something happening. Well, it is revealed to me because I chose to have it be revealed. It's not revealed to me because it had to be made to happen. It had to be made to be that it wasn't and is before. It is now a reality. Now, these are tough phrases and tough words because we're so embattled in them, in our thinking and in our way of looking at them. And we're so accustomed to thinking about tomorrow, and there is no tomorrow. You don't believe it, and I really don't care whether you believe it or not, but you don't believe it. You don't believe that now is the only time there is. You don't believe it, really. You don't believe that here is the only place there is. You don't believe that. But I can see over there. No, you can't.
It's all here.
It's all right here. When you see over there, you are over there seeing over there. What you're seeing from here is over there. But it's not really over there. It's wherever you are. It's wherever your thinking is, wherever your attitude is. Because really, our scientific community, that is our physicists and our space people, are all telling us again and again and again. All time and space are right now. Well, what about the Big Bang Theory, and what about Orion and its movement as a galaxy up there? What about the Milky Way in which we are and the other galaxies that exist around us? What about the many universes that we live in? What about these things? They're all separate from us. Well, they're separate from us because we are so small. The bigger we are, the more we encompass. The bigger we are, the more we include everything in the universe, in our thought, and in our nowness. Is God the allness? I mean, we play with that game because we don't understand it, but we do say that God is the allness. God created everything. God is all. Okay, now just say that. Okay, God is all. If God is all, then that means that God is tomorrow, today, and yesterday. God is the all. Yeah, I guess so, but, hadn't thought of it that way. And if God is the all, then God is every speck of sand, every bit of dust, every star in the sky. God is everything. God are all the people. All the diversity of thinking, that's God. Well, And if that is God, and God is one, and there's only one God, then all of that exists in God, as the oneness. Well, now, we think of it as separate. We think of Minneapolis and New York and Zurich, Switzerland, and Beijing. We think of all those places as quite distant and separate from each other. Well, in the allness, they are one. In the allness, there is only the presence, and only that in the here and the now. Now, are you ready to play that game? Are you ready to realize that every game you ever play has already been played infinite number of times? Every game you ever want to play is already successfully played. Now, you may choose to play the game unsuccessful. You may choose to play the game at level 1 or level 2 or level 50 or level 3000. You know, you can play the game at any level you want. And you can be a part winner or part loser or whatever you want to call yourself, but you're playing the game. Now, all these levels of game exist in the here and the now, in the allness, and all are unique, and yet all are one. Now, you say, well, okay, if we're human beings and we're living in a human world and we're living in the world of, not here and now, but in the world of where we're living, and tomorrow we're in Chicago and Wednesday we'll be in New York and then Friday we'll be in Nigeria. So you say, we'll be in all these places, and those will all be new experiences and new nownesses, totally new. They won't be the universal now, but they'll be the individual now. So how can that be? How can that be? How can we play that game? Well, you can't. I can't. No human being can. Only when you are divine, when you are the infinite allness, can you play that game. And the reason you can't play that game is because you do not play the master game. And the master game says what? I am one. All is here and now. All space is here. All time is here. All whatever, you know. And where is here? Here is the all. Here is the is. Now, we cannot even begin to consider that sort of stuff because it sort of boggles our mind. It's beyond our thinking. And we really don't want to think about it because we're having too much fun being human and playing the human game. Be yourself and have fun. Now, what good does it do for us to talk like this and talk about the allness and the isness and the oneness and things like that? They seem so irrelevantly relative to the world, you know. Now, why do we want to think about them?
Well,
if that's what Sylvia said, for the fun of it, okay, then are you really having fun, or is it boggling your mind? Or is boggling your mind fun? Is playing a tough chess game fun? Is playing a chess game that's tougher than one you've ever played fun? Yes, but don't you ever forget you're playing a game, because the minute you think that it's so tough, how can anyone do this? You know, how can anyone win at this game with all these things going against me? You know, I lost all my limbs. I'm a quadriplegic, you know. I lost everything. And what can I do? How can I live? How can I do anything? And then some quadriplegic comes along, takes a paintbrush in his hand, in his mouth, and he starts painting. Or he starts using devices that help him to move around. And, you know, they have computers now that operate on your voice. And the computer can be made to operate a function with your voice telling it to do. You say forward, and your little cart goes forward. You say backward or sideways or whatever, and your cart will do whatever it is you want it to do. So, but you, the minute everything gets too tough, you get real scared, and you say, I can't handle this, too much for me. Losing all my limbs, oh my goodness, what's the use of living, you know? Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. You know, my brother, he's kind of a jerk, he allowed himself to get sick. And then he allowed himself not to use the procedures that they told him to use to maintain a balance in his body. Then he allowed himself to know all about the disease, all about the problems, all about how it functions and how it works. And then he allowed himself to be sent to a seeing eye school in preparation for being blind, because he knew he was going to be blind. What a terrible thing to do, to know you're going to be blind. And then he knew he was going to have this happen and that happen to him. And so when he placed himself in position to have it all happen. Instead of coming to me and saying, Herb, let's work on this where I can put a new cause in motion that my body is perfect, my eyesight's perfect, and this and that, and let's do it. And we would have done it. But no, all he did was feel sorry for himself, and then finally he said, I've had enough of this. And so he held his breath, and then he died. Now, essentially, that's what he did. Yeah. Now that's his privilege, but he didn't have to. But you see, now you see, well, he had it pretty bad. He had a lot of problems. He kept adding them. One problem was enough, so then he added more. One problem was enough, so he added two more and three more, and then he had people with problems in his life, and he kept doing this. And people without problems kept wanting to come into his life, and he wouldn't let them be there. His one little neighbor, who was in her 95s or 6 or something like that, and driving her golf cart around, just having a great old time, wanted to uplift him all the time. And he kept saying, oh, dear me, oh, woe is me. And, of course, then he had to go, woe is me. Now, I'm not saying my brother's terrible. I'm just saying that he's stupid. Because this is the work that I do all the time, working with people who have problems to help them to not live with them, but to live without them. You like that? To live without the problems. Now, this magazine says it's good to have the water cooler, to have an opportunity to get around there and to have discussions and chat and so forth. It's like using your brain power and keeping it alert and alive. Well, great. But let's look at it one step further. Is a gossip alive? Yes. But do you want to be a gossip? A gossip is
alive.
Alive. Is a gossip a person who is living?
Okay.
Yes. Do you want to be a gossip?
No.
All right. Why would anyone want to be a gossip? Yes, it's just what they love. Now, they're very active. They're very active being aware of what other people are doing and what other naughty things people are doing and spreading the word about what people are doing. And they just have so much joy. What's happening to them? The very things they're spreading, they are taking on themselves, whether they want to admit it or not. lots of problems come up in their life. Lots of problems. And they wonder where it comes from. Well, it comes from the idea that they're putting those type of affirmations in motion for themselves, and that's what they're getting. So, I affirm in the present tense, and the action has already taken place. I am whole and perfect. And I told Ray, I said, Ray, you're whole and perfect. And we had our friend Joseph, who was in prison. He was having troubles. And I said, Joseph, you're whole and perfect. And he moaned and moaned. I said, don't moan like that. Oh, look where I am. Look what I got. Look where you put yourself. Now, you could have been out of there years ago. But you were so ticked off at the system, you were just going to give them a hard time. And so they gave you a hard time. And you were so ticked off at the system that you weren't going to cooperate with what you had were told you were going to have to face, and so then they put you in the hole. Of the total time you're in prison, something, what was it, 25 years or something like that, 12 and a half years or better, you're in the hole because you're a naughty boy. Now, change your stinking thinking, get your attitude right. And he did. He changed his attitude. And he changed his attitude very nicely, and good things started happening to him. But he wasn't honest, because he didn't really change his attitude, and in his heart, he was still ticked off at the system. So what happens? His body goes from worse to worse. And many other problems happen to him. You see, we may not have things happen that seem to be related to what we're doing, but they are. So when he gets upset at the system, it fires back at him in many ways. He gets transferred from one prison to another, and they took everything he had. And all of his artwork, all of the things he built up over the years, they took it. Then he went to another prison, then he took everything he had again. And he had to start off from scratch. Now, that doesn't happen to other people. That doesn't happen to other people who are harmonious and who are not being unhappy with himself. But you see, he's feeling sorry for himself. And I said, Joseph, don't do that. You know better. Joseph, start praising the guards. Start telling the institution, I recognize that this is the system, and I'm 100% willing to work with you to accomplish my release and so forth. He started doing that. And he got real close to being released 3 or 4 times. And each time he got close to it, then he started at the system, and he shut the door for himself. Now, you say, well, Herb, how do you know all this stuff? I talked to him. I talk to him, and I tell him exactly how he can put the cause in motion for a perfect, harmonious relationship there and the release. And he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. But do you do any better? Do you do any better? Do you remember when something bad happened to you as a child or as a young adult or an adult? Do you remember when somebody drove in front of you and didn't give a proper signal and just about made you hit them and you want to blow your stack at them and you want to get angry at them? You're only getting angry at yourself. You're only making yourself incompetent to do the job of driving. If someone does something silly to you, immediately say, I surround you with my pure white light of love. All your ways are peace and all your paths are pleasant. It's better. You say, I surround myself with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my... But you see, when you say him or it, then at least you're not being mean. At least you're not being unhappy with him. But, of course, it's best to do it for yourself. And when you do it for yourself, then you are living in the positive. You are living in the present tense. You are living in the here and the now. And this is what it's all about. Well, I've certainly given you enough to wobble around with, if you like. And it is fun. But it's demanding. And it's where we are today. So think on these things and just enjoy them with all your heart. And know that I just love playing with these bits of information. Because that's the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I love you. I love you.
I love you.